Microphone. Can you guys hear me all right?
Yeah.
Good morning. So, yeah, let's talk about forgiveness. Here we are in Lent. And when we think about forgiveness, what I want you to think about right now, think about the worst thing that you can remember doing. And it might be awful. I don't want you to call it out or anything. But think about whatever it is. And then think to yourself, do I deserve forgiveness for that? Now think about maybe someone else, if that's hard to do. Someone else that did something to you that maybe really hurt you. And it might have been a long time ago. But think about that. Do they deserve forgiveness? Kind of an interesting dynamic there. Because sometimes we might think, yeah, I absolutely deserve forgiveness. But that guy? No. He doesn't. And why is that in our mind? Might be the exact opposite. Yeah, he deserves forgiveness, but what I did was just too awful. How often do we really believe we deserve the love and forgiveness that we're granted? You know, Deacon John talks about going and ministering to inmates in the prisons. And I would guess there's not a lot of them that believe that they deserve the forgiveness. It's something they struggle with because they do awful things. So do they deserve that forgiveness? Well, God teaches us a lesson about that today. And it doesn't matter that we get this lesson because we still question it. We still wonder. And the reading that we heard today, this parable, is quite possibly one of the more well-known short stories ever. And I don't mean in the Bible. I mean ever. In fact, Charles Dickens referred to it as the greatest short story in the history of the world. This parable. It's all about forgiveness, yet we still continue to question it. So I want to talk about this parable. I want to talk about the son. This son that could have done a bunch of different things, or a bunch of things differently. Agreed? He went and messed up, and if he'd have done some things differently, this story might have turned out entirely different, right? And we're talking about the older son, aren't we? No? Okay, I'm going to talk about the older son. In this parable, we hear this younger son. And the background of the story is, and you heard it, the younger son, he gets his half of what's going to be his inheritance, and he goes off and parties. So we can assume he went off to college or something. He went and lived it up. And he spent his time with sinners and was one himself. The older son, he stayed behind. Did everything that he was supposed to, followed the rules. His dad asked him to do things, he did them. He never questioned it. He was exactly doing everything that he felt that he was supposed to be doing. And then the father, who's trying to give his sons everything that he can after apparently a life of some success. So who are these three? Right? Because the parable was told by Jesus not only to those sinners and tax collectors, but then the Pharisees and the scribes were just shocked that he was even talking to them. Heaven forbid he's talking to sinners, right? Think about this parable. That younger son, who is he most like? Was he most like the sinners that Jesus was talking about? And if he was, who was Jesus talking to? The sinners. And then the others, the Pharisees and the scribes, who are criticizing him about this, you know, these are experts in their faith. They follow all the rules. They do everything right. Who are they most like, the older son or the younger son? They most like the older son, feeling that I did everything right, so therefore we should get something in return, something better. And then the father, who does the father represent? God, always there to forgive, right? We look at it from the older son's standpoint. I'm going to rename this parable just for my own, you know, enjoyment. I'm going to call it the arrogant son rather than the prodigal son. We're talking about the older son. I want you to take a moment and think. What would have changed if that older son would have done just a few things different? And knowing that his father misses that younger son, that he's hurting over everything that happened, what might have changed if he went out and sought out that younger son? See, our initial reaction is that he got a raw deal. He did everything right, and he's getting the raw end of this deal. But what if he'd have gone after his younger brother? What if he'd have told him, "We love you. We forgive you. Father forgives you. We just want you back. All is forgiven. You just have to come back." What could have changed? Maybe the younger son would have come back sooner. Even if he didn't, do you think the father would have been pleased with the fact that his older son is trying to make this effort to bring back his lost brother? Might have changed a few things, but he didn't. Because that older son doesn't have perfect forgiveness. None of us do. It's hard to forgive sometimes, agreed? See, we as humans, we base our forgiveness off of a scale, right? We take out our forgiveness calculator. It's like a scientific calculator. It's got a bajillion buttons. And we're like, all right, we're going to start off with 100%. We're going to divide it for how long I've been upset. I'm going to multiply it by the I'm required to forgive you. I'm going to add the you annoy me because you're a teenager. And all right, I've got a figure, but if I go ahead and cash that out for the next 25 years. Listen, here are your options. I can give you 56% forgiveness today, or I can give you 100% forgiveness by 3038. That's how we look at forgiveness sometimes. We look at it as somebody has to earn it with us. Right or wrong, that's how we look at it. But Jesus's calculator, God's calculator, has two buttons. If you truly ask, you will receive 100%, period. He doesn't have to put in a bunch of numbers. Truly ask for that forgiveness, you'll receive it. Now let's take this forward. How many people do we know or have we seen that are lost right now? They're hurting. They're that younger son. They don't understand the love and forgiveness of God. They don't see it. They don't get to witness it. What if we were the older brother that went out and found them and explained that to them? Hello? Do you think God would be pleased with that? I think he would be. So here's what I'd like you to think about for the second half of Lent. Let's think about being that older brother. Let's think about what we can do to help the prodigal son return a little bit sooner. Let's see what we can do to bring him back to faith. Because we're Catholics. We've got a fantastic, fantastic opportunity to have sins forgiven in confession. Let's see if we can go out and find a couple of those people that are really struggling. Explain to them that they're forgiven, they're loved, doesn't matter what mistakes they've made. It's interesting because a key line in the reading that I love is, while he was still a long way off, his father, seeing him, was moved with compassion. Knowing what he'd done, the father was still moved with compassion, just as God is. Servant of God, Father John Hardin, had a great quote. He said, "Great sinners make great saints. God has big plans for you." If you look at some of the great saints of our time, they were fantastic sinners. They were wonderful, right? St. Augustine of Hippo, children out of wedlock. You've got St. Calixtus, Might not have heard of him, but a brawler, a thief, who became pope, and then was martyred. St. Dismas, ring a bell? He was hanging next to Christ at the crucifixion. St. Matthew, the tax collector. St. Paul. St. Paul, who was at least present at the martyrdom of St. Stephen. Some believe he might have taken part, but he was at least there. Great sinners made great saints. So let's reflect on this. And let's spend a little time, this next part of Lent, going out, maybe it's for ourselves, maybe it's for someone we know. Let's go out and try to find those younger brothers, those sinners, and bring them back. And reflect on whether or not we're running. And if we're running, are we running to or from our God who's standing there with open arms, waiting to forgive us, whether we deserve